tape recorder, so you can sort of sport the new border. From the overweight lord of lovers, brothers give respect because I give respect to brothers and others on the agenda. Try to remember, I can rock a party from September to September, meaning all year round. I can throw down sound for sound, round for round, pound for pound. Now, take charge, still living large. I'm not soft, soft as the moth, soft as the barge. I'm a giant, a major, applying to the industry. They are the boys, and I am a team heavy. Now I'm a flip, cause the flip is the trick. Later on, I'm a rip, cause the rip is legit. Now I'm a grow up, show up, blow up, and make your hold up a sign. Same heavy dudes, big time, big time.
What up, Las Vegas? What's up, what up, Las Vegas? This is your boy, Spike Lee. Officially checking in. I'm the number one morning radio show in Las Vegas. What up, Las Vegas? This is the Jokes and Jam Morning Squad on 107.1 FM AM 1400. We up early waking you up and starting your day. And we got the best morning squad is in the business. Starting to my left, we got my boy, special guest in the studio. But you know, he's not a stranger to the show. The Wildcats officially checking in the building.
Hey, 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 what's up, Las Vegas? I am live in the studio. I lost $1,700 at the casino last night. I have no recollection of that. I will be disputing that claim, okay, Bank of America? It is not my fault.
Get ready. Get ready, Mike. The black hangover. The African-American hangover.
You know.
And, of course, you have me, Spank E, the Las Vegas Al Capone, on the microphone. And today we have two very distinguished special guests coming up at about 10 after, 15 after-ish. We have Bernadette Stannis. Of course, you know her. She portrayed the character Thelma from Good Times. She got a new book coming out. It's called Good Times, Ain't We Lucky We Got Them. You don't want to miss this. It's going to be a great interview. Then coming up at the bottom of the hour, halfway through, we also have R&B legend Shanice on the show. So we'll be right back after this. We're going to take a little quick break, play a little jam, because you know we all about the jokes and jams. 107.1 FM AM 1400, Jokes and Jams Morning Squad.
What's going on? It's your boy, comedian Wildcat. Whenever I'm in Las Vegas, I turn on the Spank E Jokes and Jams Morning Squad. 107.1 FM, 1400 AM. If you don't know, now you know.
You know, you can be all the things you've always wanted to be. Beautiful. Sexy, easiest 1, 2, 3.
Just let your soul glow. Just let it shine through. Just let your soul glow, baby. Feeling oh so silky smooth. Just let it shine through. Just let your soul glow.
From the fifth floor. Whenever I'm in Vegas, I'm always listening to Spank E, and the Jokes and Jams Morning Squad, because they all laugh, and they always give me some served sandwiches.
Of course, this is a 107.1 FM and 1400 Jokes and Jams Morning Squad in the building with us. You heard him. Like I said, he's a friend to the show, but he's no stranger. We got the Wildcat in the building.
What amp, y'all? It is time to take a trip to Wildcat's world. That's right. Is it time?
It's time.
Ding, ding, ding. The bell has gone off, y'all. Wildcat's world. Today, we want to talk about grown folks and how they live. Everybody's living in a pile of mess until company comes over.
I know that's right.
That's what I'm talking about.
Yep.
Oh, wait a minute. Let me clean up. No. Don't clean those grease stains off the ceiling now if they ain't bothered you. Don't do that. Don't mop the floors now because somebody showed up. People will live in a pile of pizza crust and Chinese food boxes until somebody's on their way. People, yeah. We got to do better. You got to stop living in filth. As long as people don't see it, you are okay with it. You got to stop that now. I'm real. If my house is dirty, when you call, it's going to be dirty when you get there. You can help me clean up, but this is what I'm going through. You don't know about my life. You don't know what's happening with me. I just got off work. I'm tired. My neighbors stink. I got a million different things that I'm going through. So if you come in my house, it might be dirty. All right. That's one thing going on in my world. Another thing in Wildcat's world.
Yes.
Is I have new beef with Frontier Airlines.
Oh, man.
Frontier Airlines. If you have never flown with them, then you are winning. Okay. But the airlines industry has itemized everything.
Everything.
So when you fly on Frontier and Spirit, it's the bare bones. We talking about the Greyhound of the sky.
Okay.
That's exactly what it is. I mean, they made me freestyle to avoid paying for a carry-on. I'm like, I got a freestyle? What is this? He's like, bro, either freestyle, pay that money. I'm like, yo, put your passports in the air if you don't care. What? I'd rather walk than take Frontier. This flight's so cheap. Who needs a reclining seat? I went to Dollar Tree before I got here. That's a fact. So hell no, I don't want to buy none of your snacks. You know what I mean? Every flight with Frontier is always late. And you wonder why we own this bus. Where the hell is the gate? Come on now. I got the free bag, you dig? Frontier, Spirit, y'all need to quit playing. Get some reclining seats. Come on. What does 50 bags of pretzels really cost you? Come on now. Give me some pretzels.
Well, I stopped by Dollar Tree. Got my own snacks.
Come on now. I got Whoppers in my pocket. What you think I'm really worried about them pretzels? Come on, Wildcat's world, man. We trying to save some money, you dig?
And then they gave you a little small bag. You got to share that with the rope.
Come on, man. Come on, take a pretzel and pass the rest. I'm not going to take one and pass it down. Who's doing that, Frontier? Frontier, y'all need a real gate. There's no way that I check in and have to catch a bus 10 minutes to a part of the airport I didn't even know existed. Come on, man. You can do better than that, Frontier. You can.
All right, man. That is the Wildcat up in here. So, as promised, drum roll, we have a very special guest on the phone. Her name is Bernadette Stannis, as you know. You don't want to miss this because she is amazing. She just wrote a book. It's called Good Times, Ain't We Lucky We Got 'Em? And I think you know, we'll chit-chat with her because I got some compliments to give out to her. Ladies and without further ado, please welcome to the Jokes and Jam Morning Squad, Miss Bernadette Stanis.
Hey, thank you.
Hey, Miss Stanis.
Hi, how are you?
Man, I am in heaven right now. Talking to you.
Thank you. Thank you.
I just wanted to first say that you do represent true black excellence, and we, the Jokestamp Warner Squad, just wants to thank you for everything you've done for the culture and representing us well. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. I appreciate that a lot, you guys.
Man, we sure appreciate you. So,
yes, Miss, I don't even know what to call you. I don't
call
even.
Call me Thelma.
I wanted to, but I didn't want to disrespect you, Thelma.
That's okay.
I know you probably hear this all the time, but you really showed us how to do that. You really showed a lot of the young sisters how to do that, how to represent yourself without losing yourself. And I know you hear this all the time, but
I'm happy to hear that. And I really, really thank you for that.
Yes.
You know, being the first, it's really interesting because when I tell people this, they say they can't believe you. Really? I was like the first black female teenager ever on television.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Yeah, that's true.
And they go, what?
That's true.
They say, no. I say, yeah. Yeah. You know, Julia was a woman. She was a woman. She wasn't a teenager. So, you know, I wasn't the first black person on, girl on television. No. But yeah. Teenage-wise, yes.
Mm-hmm. Wow. So, yeah, well, you know, without you, like I said, you paved the way. Without you, it would have been no Rudy Huxtable. Without you, it would have been no Whitley Gilbert. It would have been no Moesha Mitchell. None of that would have happened if it wasn't for Bernadette Stanis.
Thank you. And I'm just so honored that I was able to, you know, represent it enough for them to come about because I love all of them as well, you know.
Yes, ma'am. So you just wrote a book called Good Times, Ain't We Lucky We Got 'Em, and we're definitely going to get into that.
Yes.
Yes, ma'am.
Yes, I wrote that. You know, this 2024 is the 50th year anniversary of Good Times.
Wow. I'm old.
Yeah, no, darling, you're not old.
Oh.
It started in 1974. It ended in 79, but it's been on television for the whole of the 50 years somewhere in the world.
I was five.
I know, right? But that shows you when it's good, it's timeless.
Yeah,
I was born in 78.
Wow.
So I like by the time I even saw the show, I didn't know what I was looking at.
Right.
So I literally grew up watching that show, and I don't want to go too deep into it, but that show meant so much before and after it went off air, once we found out what really happened to James, why they really killed off James, like the fight and the struggle that they had from the beginning, how they didn't want her to have a husband on the show at all. People don't even know the backstory behind
That's
Good
why
Times.
I wrote the book. I had to put that backstory and all the other stories in there. It's interesting because I give so much credit to Esther Rolle. She was such a woman of honor, of respect, of
Definitely.
Dignity. I looked up to her like she was 10 feet tall. Also, how she, fought for a husband on the show. John was the perfect husband. He was the perfect man for that show.
Yeah.
He was a perfect father. I'm just so happy that we had that man for Good Times.
Yes, yes, definitely.
And people they still don't know why they killed James. why there was the infamous damn James.
Well, you know what, you guys, if they get, I'm not just trying to do a little cheap plug here, but if they get the book, It's all in there.
Yep.
Yes. Okay. What is your, I definitely want to ask you some questions about Good Times, Ain't We Lucky We Got Them. What was your, like, favorite, I want to ask, like, what was your favorite moment on the show? Like, what was your moment like, whoa, I can't believe, like, I'm here, you know, what was your whoa moment?
Well, one of my favorite moments was finding out that I got the part of Thelma. That was one of my biggest favorite moments.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, that was amazing.
And it was groundbreaking.
Oh my gosh, yes. And we were actually a replacement show.
Mm. Who did you replace?
We don't know. But we came in February. You know, most seasons start in early, but we came and said, well, they were just chancing it, taking a shot, you know, maybe it'll work, maybe it won't. And the world was thirsty and they needed that show. Black people, we needed that show. It showed unity in poverty.
Yes.
It showed so much. It showed dignity. It showed, you know, when it's all said and done, you may not have it all, but you do have yourselves. You do have love.
Yes.
And we fought for that, you know? Yeah. We had really good writers.
Yes.
I realized that as I got older and I was watching the show myself, I said, you know, those writers were fantastic, whomever they were, white, black, whatever. But because you could watch the show as a child, enjoy the show, and not really understand what the real deep meaning was, but we had fun watching it.
Yes.
And as you get older, you see the meaning that was inside of the show.
Yeah.
We touched on so many very, very, you know, very touchy situations and very touchy subjects.
Yeah, socially relevant subjects.
Yes.
That are still even prevalent to this day.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And that's scary. 50 years later, we're almost in the same boat.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. You know, you are actually the second Good Times cast member I met. And I've done stand-up for 34 years. I actually met Jimmy Walker. So you're the second cast member I made. You know, I was surprised about Jimmy Walker, how short he was. I'm like, he's my height. Jimmy, he's supposed to be tall.
Jimmy's not short. But you know what?
He's short.
I think
he's my height, so I'm short. So
okay. All right. But, you know, to me, he was very tall because he was so thin, you know.
Right.
And it made him tall, very, very tall, because I had to wear platform shoes to with very long bell-bottom pants to kind of, you know, you know, get his height, you know, equalized a little bit. Me,
because he was like, when I met him, he was like 2 inches taller than me. I like, what? I thought he'd be way up there. I like, so if he's that height, I mean, everybody else had to be shorter than him.
Yeah, we were short. Yeah, absolutely.
Yes.
Yeah, but they adjusted it. But he's a fantastic guy.
Oh, absolutely.
He lives in Vegas, you guys.
Okay. Mm. Yeah. He does. He does.
He might be listening to us too.
Yeah. That'd be amazing. Call in if you're listening.
Right. JJ ain't up this early.
You got it. He is not up this early. He's a comedian and he stays up all night and he probably sleeps till the afternoon.
Yes. Miss Thelma. I've been doing comedy 25 years, so I deal with this next question.
Okay.
Everybody I've met during my career expects me to remember them. Okay. Everybody. And I thought of my memory of you, and then I was like, I don't want to be the person that I hate to be. But we did a stage play years ago in Chicago called When You Cry, I Cry.
Mm.
And that was at the Harold Washington Cultural Center. And it's like, I was like, you know what? I'm going to talk about that and I'm going to ask her, do she remember? No, you don't have to remember that. And I realized as the artist, it's not our job to remember everything we've done,
right.
But understand that we've left an impression on everybody. Like, I know you hear this a lot, but you don't understand who you are to people who have never met you.
Yes.
You have been on the wall of teenagers. You have been, you have been the epitome of what a black woman should look like.
Black excellence.
Before and after. We never saw too much from Thelma, but she was so sexy. She still looked good to this day.
And she can dance.
She ain't done no crazy reality shows. So how do you deal with the fame of being this iconic character after the fact? How do you deal with that? Because there's nowhere you can go,
right,
and people are not noticing you. How do you deal with that?
It's very interesting. Thank you for that question. When I got Good Times, I was, you know, an older teenager. I was 18. But when I got off of the show was on for 5 years. So I was well into, you know, womanhood, you know, young womanhood.
Mm-hmm.
And that is where the whole thing kind of was very interesting for me. Because dealing with the fact that I'm a young woman and I'm looking for a guy or dating or whatever, that's where the two things kind of clashed for me.
Okay.
Because I'm here being Bernadette.
Right.
Being myself.
Right.
You know, whatever.
Right.
And that Thelma was on top of me. You know, Thelma.
Yeah.
That's what they thought. So a lot of times I had to question if they were coming at me because they see Thelma, or were they coming at me because of Bernadette.
Right.
9 times out of 10, it was Thelma.
Yeah. I got to tell you.
I can't blame anybody, and I can't get mad about it. So I took it very lightly at first, you know, like the guys would be my friends, you know, just friends, because
right.
I'm Thelma, you know, that's how. But when it got a little deeper, it made a question, you know, do you really like me? You know, because I am Thelma, but I'm not completely like Thelma.
Right, right, right.
You know, there's a Bernadette behind there somewhere.
Yes, yeah. I definitely want to get this out before we move on, before we forget. Your book is available at Barnes & Noble, $40 hardcover, $30 softcover. It's also available on your website, ThelmaOfGoodTimes.com.
So
go straight to her website. Don't give Barnes and Noble no money. Go straight to Thelma. That way she gets to pocket everything. Go straight to ThelmaOfGoodTimes.com.
I get to autograph the book for you.
Yes. Oh, wow.
And yes, I autograph everything for you, tell you nice little things in there. And, you know, I get it right out to you.
Well, so, when you see my name, give me a good little autograph.
Okay, I will.
You're going to see Spank E. I wanted to ask.
Oh, you know I like that. You know, that came from the Little Rascals, right?
Yes, that's how I got the name. My mother used to name me that. It was Fat and Chubby with the curly hair. We hung out with a bunch of kids. And that's why she started calling me Spanky.
Well, I bet you were cute. I bet you were cute as fuck. Now, let me tell you what my website is, okay, so that they can go there. It's ThelmaOfGoodTimes.com. Pretty easy, huh?
Yes, ThelmaOfGoodTimes.com. And your book is available on there as well. As I said, don't even go to, you can go to Barnes & Noble, but we prefer you to go straight to ThelmaOfGoodTimes.com.
Yeah, and I don't know how many Barnes & Nobles really have it right now. But if you want... No, I don't. But if you really want, the hard copy or the soft copy, just go to ThelmaOfGoodTimes.com.
Yeah, well, the only reason I know that because I Googled, and Barnes & Noble said they have it.
Well, thank you.
The technology.
I appreciate it. I really do.
So, Miss Thelma, what's happening with you? What's new? What should the people look out for? What did you already do that's getting ready to come out? What's going on with Thelma right now?
Something's always going on with me, I tell you, for real. I just feel like when I'm not doing something, I'm supposed to be doing something.
You did.
So I'm a writer. I'm a writer. Let me see. I have two daughters. They wake me up at 5, 6 in the morning. You know how it is. Mom, let me tell you. I'm telling you, this is going on. What do you think I should do? Da-da-da-da-da. I'm like, oh, gosh. Okay, so I do that. So I do that a lot. And then, you know, I'm also on a show called The Family Business.
Okay.
With Ernie Hudson. Yeah, The Family Business. I play the character Nene Duncan.
Mm-hmm. Now, what network is that showing? Is that streaming?
Okay. From season 1 to 4, it's on Netflix.
Mm-hmm.
And from season 5, it goes to BET Plus.
Okay. Yep.
Right. And we're getting ready to go into season 6.
Yeah, so definitely make sure you check that out.
It's called Weber's Family Business.
Yeah, Weber's Family Business. Yep. Yeah, I wanted to ask you another question. What was the best advice? Because, John Amos was older than you and Esther Rowe was older than you. What was the best advice you got from them on your career?
Oh, very interesting. First of all, with Esther, I told her that I said, you're going to be my Hollywood mom.
Yeah.
She's like, I'm no mom. I'm not a mother. I said, well, you're going to be one. Over her. That was my Hollywood mom. And I called her mom and I loved her like a mom. So, just being around her, I learned a lot, osmosis mostly. But when it came to John Amos, he was very, very interesting, very direct man, very cool. You know, he wasn't in people's business. He was laid back, but he was definitely there. And we were at a table read one day, and I had just gotten on the show. I think it was like my second table read or whatever. And one of the producers asked me a question. Don't ask me right now what he asked me because I don't remember. But he asked me a question pertaining to the business and my opinion of something and da-da-da-da-da. And so, not knowing anything, I'm giving him my personal opinion and, oh, come on, I'm a kid. What do I know? I'm not even in Hollywood a month.
Right.
So I'm saying, well, I think this and I think that and I believe, and I was on it. I was going with it. So when the table read was over, John took me to the side.
Okay.
And he said to me, Bernadette, young Capricorn, because he was the Capricorn too.
Okay.
He said, young Capricorn, let me tell you something. He said, when people ask you these questions, when these people ask you a question like that, you don't really have an opinion of it. You really don't. You haven't been here long enough. He says, be careful, because the things that you will say may be the things that they'll hold against you later.
Yes, that's right.
Facts,
that's right.
Facts.
And I was like, whoa. He said, so you're an observer right now. Right now you're listening and you're learning.
Right.
And that's all it should be. And I went, oh, yes, okay. But so you know what I believe in the long run? John actually probably saved my job.
Interesting.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I
thank you for that. Yeah.
Yeah. No. And that's why these interviews are so important, because I don't think half of the viewing audience understood what happened with that show, the fights from beginning to end. I don't think that people understand that at that time, a lot of your viewers, we didn't have the right type of role models. I grew up on the south side of Chicago. I knew my dad, but he wasn't the best. Like James Evans was everybody's dad. Florida Evans was everybody's mama. We learned those lessons. And that's why you said the writers were so dope, because you left with something. You left with something that was a lesson. This was like Channel 11 after school program. Every day you got something from this show that taught you something about life. And after it was done, they still don't know the fights.
Yes.
And how James Evans didn't want to coon the show out. Right. He didn't want to slap. He didn't want to do all of that. That was the thing with the show. They wanted to make it more slapstick. They wanted to make it more about JJ. They wanted to get away from the messages.
Yeah.
And the good brother, John Amos, was like, I ain't going.
Yeah.
That's why they killed James.
Yes.
He didn't die working somewhere. He stood for his rights. And they fired James.
Yeah.
So everything that... Everything that James was about on the show seemed like that's who he really was.
Yeah, he was that in a lot of ways. He was that in a lot of ways. You have to understand, too, that it was so many different dichotomies going on, because you have to understand, on TV shows, a lot of times there's a runaway character.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? It's a character that... Not the person is not trying to do this. It just happens that they become the runaway character, like the Fonz became the runaway character on Happy Days. You know, Urkel became the character on, you know, Family Matters. I mean, so Jimmy became the runaway character. It does not mean that his character is more important than any of the other characters. It's just a runaway character, and people just you know, like the comedy or the quirkiness and stuff like that. And Esther Rowland and John Amos, they knew that. But they also wanted the world to see the seriousness of the show, the reason for certain things. And so I say the writers did their very best, and I think they did a very good job. But understand something also. When someone doesn't want you from the beginning, a lot of times their tolerance of you is not very high. So a lot of times when John was expressing himself and the way he was doing it, you know, they didn't want to tolerate that.
Right.
You know, they didn't tolerate him very, very much. So therefore, it was easier to probably take him off the show.
Right. Yeah. I wanted to mention one more time, right before we bring on our next guest. We don't want to go anywhere, though, because the way we do our interviews, we bring everybody on at once, because we're all fans of each other. I'm a fan of yours. You're probably a fan of our next guest. We're all a fan of Wildcat. We all chit-chat and chop it up. Where can they find you one more time, your book? Tell them one more time.
ThelmaOfGoodTimes.com.
Okay.
And my birthday is coming up on the 22nd, although I'm having my birthday party on the 21st, and I'm going live, you guys, on Instagram and Facebook for a few hours. So just come on in and party with me. Yes, do that. And so, and therefore, you know, you can always get the book for my birthday. How about that?
Absolutely. You need to come to Vegas to celebrate the birthday.
Next year, I'm going to stay for a while here on his earth. So I might come next year.
Well, we don't want you to go anywhere, because I'm sure we'll love our next guest, unless you're in a hurry, unless you have to dash. Do you have to dash right now?
In a little bit.
Well, at least let me introduce you to our next guest. You know her. She is an R&B legend as well. My favorite song of hers, of course, was I Love Your Smile. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Shanice on the line.
Good morning.
Hey,
and
Shanice.
Happy early birthday.
Thank you, honey.
Yay. I love you.
I love your work.
I love you too. I'm such a fan of yours.
See, I told you, that's how we do. We chit chat with each other.
My mouth is just wide open. We got Shanice and Thelma on the phone.
I'm going to let you have your time with Shanice. She needs her time as well.
Yes, ma'am.
You gave me wonderful time, you guys.
Well, thank you so much. We appreciate you. We'll see you soon.
Okay,
honey.
All right. Bye, Shanice. Have a good interview. I love you guys.
Okay.
I love you.
Thanks again.
Hey,
bye-bye.
Shanice.
Hi.
I am such a big fan of yours, too. I've been following whole career.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, so, Shanice, this is comedian Wildcat. We love these type of interviews because just like with Thelma, as an iconic figure You have all these people that love you, that never met you. It's probably pissing off your husband. No. It's probably making Flex extra mad, but it's making y'all extra cash.
No, not at all.
How do you, I asked that to Thelma, and I asked that to everybody that I talk to. How do you deal with the fans and them, all these memories? Oh, you were at this concert. Oh, I remember you at an open mic. How do you deal with the fans so that you're not taking those pictures that look like, I don't want to take this picture? How do you deal with being Shanice?
Well, you know what? I love it. Like, I don't take any of it for granted. It still feels very new. Even when I hear I Love Your Smile on the radio to this day, I still get excited.
Me
and
too.
When people ask me for pictures, I really do. Like, when people ask me for photos, like, I'm honored. Like, it doesn't upset me. Even if I'm having a bad day, like, I don't take it out on my fans. Like, you know, or if I'm eating dinner, a lot of people feel like, well, if I'm eating dinner, you shouldn't ask for a picture or autograph. And I'm just like, come on, let's take a picture, you know. So, that's just me. I just love it all, and I'm just honored. So.
Now, let me do this. Most of the times, it's cool.
Yeah.
But I've had people standing outside of the bathroom stall waiting to be like, bro, you was so funny. Can I shake your hand?
I'm like,
why would you want to? I just got out the stall, man. Wait outside the door. So it's good that you're having these positive experience.
You like.
Yeah, it's all been positive.
You like now?
Right.
At this moment.
Are you serious?
No, that's funny.
Are you serious?
One of my favorite songs of yours, though, is when you covered Minnie Riperton. Loving You.
Thank you. Well, I've always been a huge fan of Minnie Riperton's, and it's crazy because I'm originally from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, and then I moved to California when I was 8 years old with my mom. We got on the Greyhound bus and went all the way to California because my mom sings and my aunt sings, so they had a group together, and they wanted to come to California to pursue their dreams. But when I got to California, I was like, I want to sing too. I'm 8 years old, and I want to sing. And then so I got picked on 11 on A&M Records, and the very first producer I worked with was Richard Rudolph, who is Minnie Riperton's widower.
Okay.
Mm.
And so that's how, you know, it was Loving You, because I worked with I've been knowing Rich Rudolph since I was a kid, so he approved and everything. So I think he wrote it with Minnie, the song. So yeah, so that's how I was able to. Do that one.
Definitely. By the way, tell Flex what up. We a fan of his too.
I will. He is knocked out, but I'll tell him.
I'm like, you know, at your leisure, just tell him, hey, we said what's up on the Morning Squad.
Yeah.
I sure will.
Now, what projects are you currently working on, Shanice?
I'm actually in this musical called 44.
Okay.
And I'm really enjoying it. It's about Barack Obama.
Wow.
When he was running for president. And
you play Michelle?
I play Michelle.
Oh!
I play Michelle.
Look at it.
And when I tell you, I'm having the time of my life with this musical. We started in L.A. at this place called The Bourbon Room.
Okay.
And I mean, a lot of people came out to support Martin Lawrence.
Wow.
We had Stevie Wonder, Wanda Sykes. So many celebrities supported, and they all loved it. And so we did a long run in L.A., and then we went to New York. We've done Chicago. We've done Philly. And we're about to come back to California in February. We'll be at the Kirk Douglas Theater in
I'm coming.
Oh, you have
please.
To come in February. And you know what? I was so nervous when they called me and said, you want to play Michelle Obama? And I was like, me? Kind of.
Right. Am I tall enough?
Right. Yeah, that was my thought. I was like, okay, I'm that tall. I'm only 5'4", so I was like, okay, I'm that tall. Like, and then I felt like I had to like imitate her, and I was like, could I pull this off? And when I tell you, I'm so glad, you know, I took a chance because it worked and it's working. So everyone is loving the show and we're doing really well with it. So I'm excited about that. And then I'm still, you know, touring, doing my own shows, you know, with my music. I'm about to get back in the studio.
Okay.
Next year, I'm definitely putting out an album for sure. So, yeah, Gary's not working on music.
Yeah, I'm gonna get that.
And I have a lip by Shanice, and you can go to smilebyshanice.com and purchase my lipsticks.
Oh yeah,
say that website again.
Yes,
smilebyshanice.com.
Smile by Shanice. Come on now, somebody know a little bit about branding? Because I do love your smile.
Thank you.
Come on now, I love my people.
Thank you.
Final question from Wildcat.
Mm-hmm.
What is it like to be married to someone in the industry that has some controversial roles? How do you juggle both of the careers?
I think because we're both in the industry, we kind of understand, you know, each other. And one thing I can say is we're both very supportive of each other. Mm-hmm. So when I'm working, Flex is on the sideline, cheering me on. And when he's working, I'm over there cheering him on. So we've always been very supportive of each other. And I think because we're both in the industry, and for me, it makes it easier because when I have to work, we haven't had any issues, you know. Mm. And are you talking about the Michael Jackson movie? You said controversial.
I wasn't going to say it, Shanice. I wasn't going to say it. I love my people. I wasn't going to mention that. We talked about that in the production meeting. Don't mention the biopic.
No, this is the thing. So when Flex got the part, they told him, they said, okay, Michael Jackson's going to be involved. They said it's going to be authorized. And so who would turn down a role like that if someone comes to you and says, you're going to work with Michael Jackson and the role, you know? So anyway, he was excited. First of all, when he auditioned, he was like, well, I don't look like Michael or anything, but Flex knows how to dance. If anybody knows, he started out as a dancer. So he definitely knows how to move. So anyway, once he got the part, everything changed. They said it's not authorized. We can't clear the music. And they ended up doing it in Canada. The makeup was bad. The hair was bad. You know, I felt like Flex did his thing, but the actual movie itself, you know, could have been better.
I feel like
Flex did his thing, and I feel like if any other actor had an opportunity to play Michael Jackson and possibly work with Michael, they would have taken the role as well.
Yeah. I think most people that had real unnecessary comments about that wasn't in the industry. They don't understand what it is and the decisions that are made. We can't pick the makeup artists.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
They might make us look like we're dead. And we have to deal with
Flex
that.
Flex said they had me looking ashy.
Right. it's so much out of our control while we're trying to pay our bills that people don't understand. That wasn't his movie.
Right.
He didn't write it. And I said that I'm glad you picked up on that, because something like that, if you're not careful, will throw a monkey wrench in your life. Now you have to deal with this and deal with that. Just appreciate the art.
Flex is also a comedian too. So when people try to throw jabs, like, you know, he laughs with them. Like, you know what I'm saying? So it's not gonna break him, you know. He's comedian.
And I love that. That's why I wanted to ask that question. Because I'm a student of the arts. I watch a lot of documentaries. I watch a lot of behind the musics. I watched something where Nick Cannon was saying it. Not that he said it, but they were saying that he was jealous of Mariah Carey's success. And that probably led to them breaking up. So I love to hear people in the industry that support each other, that they're not worried about, you know, who's making more, this and that. Like, I love those stories. Like, y'all, I want to say this, that y'all are Black Hollywood. Y'all are the example of Black folks making money, doing what they do, and having a moral compass. Yeah. Because a lot of people just want to make the money, and they're willing to do whatever it takes. So I take my hat off to you and Flex and everybody like y'all that have made it without the guilt, if you will.
Thank you so much.
And Miss Shanice, I also wanted to say that I'm glad you're okay, because I saw that you underwent a breast cancer treatment. Is that correct?
Yeah, well, I went in for a mammogram and an ultrasound, and first they told me I had this thing called DCIS, which is in the milk ducts, and they said it's stage zero, don't worry. But they also said, but we want to remove your breast. And I was like, remove my breast for something that's zero? And so, make a long story short, I ended up having a mastectomy because they found a stage one tumor in my breast. But the good thing is that I'm cancer free. But that's amazing. It was a scare, and I had everything removed, and everything is fine. So I'm good.
The reason why I was asking is because my wife had, you know, my wife and I are both veterans. She was Army, I was Marine Corps, but she underwent the same illness. She had breast cancer as well. She's 6 years in remission now, but I was there for the whole process. We went through chemotherapy. We went through, radiation. Of course, she had a double mastectomy, and then she had reconstruction. So I went through a whole journey with her. I totally understand what you had to go through, definitely.
But I caught it early. Thank God I caught it so early. So
Ma'am. And we're so glad you're doing well.
Oh, thank you so much.
And we appreciate the transparency. That's why this show is vital, because the whole world loves you. We have no idea what y'all are going through.
Right.
We have no, most of the listeners didn't know that. So, you know, that's why I say when God chooses you for something, you're chosen. And that's your life becomes a part of others and what they're going through. So I take my hat off to you again for going through that, dealing with that. You got a dope partner that was by your side. Thank you for even answering that question. That's a question we would normally send to you and say, do you want to talk about that? But
I think I just did Good Morning America, so I kind of went, you know, public about it, and it's on my Instagram. So I'm you know, I get the, and now I'm starting to get, I get the question all the time now since, you know. I put it out there, so it's okay.
Well, I just wanted to thank you and let you know that you weren't, you know, in there by yourself. My wife had to say,
And tell your wife I'm so glad she's doing well.
Yes, ma'am. 6 months in, 6 years in remission.
6 years.
Yes, ma'am.
Wow,
yes, ma'am.
That's
6
great.
Years in remission. Yes, ma'am. So we definitely want to thank you for coming on the show. Now, before we let you go, where can people find you? Oh, but by the way, I got to throw in a shameless plug. The Jokes of Jam Morning Squad. We'll be out in L.A. in February to see you in your, you know, in your production. We would love to come and say hi to you, though, and
I would love to see you. Yes, So it's 44. Go to 44obamamusical.com.
Okay.
And then it'll have all the dates and stuff on there.
44 Obama. How do we get to say
so
hi?
So it's 44obamamusical.com.
Okay, 44obama.
Or when you're going to come, just reach out to me and then I'll put you guys on the list.
Definitely.
That's what I'm talking about. I'm in LA, so don't tell me that.
Oh, good. Okay.
Yeah, I'm right off of Crenshaw. I'll be right there.
Okay. Oh, cool. That's not too far.
Yeah. I had to throw in a shameless plug. But anyway, I wanted to ask you, where can people find you? How can they catch up with you?
Website, so social media.
I'm so addicted to Instagram. So I'm always on Instagram, which is Shanice Online. And then on TikTok, I'm Shanice Online. Facebook, I have two pages. I have Shanice Wilson. And then there's just a Shanice. And then what else is there? TikTok, Facebook. Yeah. That's where you can find me. That's where I am all the time. So
go and tell the people I'm Googleable.
Yeah. Yeah. Once again, we want to thank you. I also wanted to tell you the same thing that I told Miss Stannis before I let you go, that you are Black excellence, and we Facts. Definitely want to thank you for holding down, you know, for holding down the culture as long as you have. We never seen you no scandals. We never thank seen you on TV hitting nobody with a wine bottle.
Facts.
No, you'll never see that either.
So we don't want to thank you for representing the culture well.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Yes, ma'am.
I'm just being myself. That's all. You know?
Yes, ma'am. Well, we sure appreciate you. You have a great rest of your day. And we'll see you in February. We'll be there in February.
Okay. I can't wait to see you in February.
Yes, ma'am.
That's
thank
right.
you so much, Miss okay. Shanice.
You keep smiling now.
Good talking to you.
Shanice.
Thank you. I will.
Shanice on the line, y'all. Oh.
Bye.
Come on now.
Bye.
We can talk to Shanice and Thelma. I could die. I could die right now. Take me to the dispensary and the funeral home. I'm done.
Take me to the king. We'll be right back. This is Dosey Dan Warner Squad, 107.1 FM and 1400.
Teacher, this book will call me at all. I don't see the
ladies and gentlemen of Las Vegas and are all around the country, today has been an amazing show day.
Yes.
Yeah, we've had two huge icons in the culture on the show today, man.
Yes.
Yeah, so but it don't stop there. Tomorrow, we gonna be right back. We got two more icons in the black community, in the black culture. Tomorrow, we have Cheryl Cooley from the old school R&B group Climax.
Okay.
Y'all remember Climax. I can't hold enough. I had a handle on it.
Come on now. That's when people were still kissing in the mouth.
Slow grind.
Come on now. Used to say,
belly rubbing.
You had to meet your daddy before I took you out. Remember that? Yes. Yeah.
And also on tomorrow's show, we have from the Flavor of Love, we have Nicole Hoops Alexander on tomorrow's show. So that's going to be amazing. Well, but she's more than Flavor of Love. She's done some amazing things. So we're going to get into her story. She's not just Flavor of Love. That's what we want to stress on the show. Mm-hmm. She's much more than that. So tomorrow, like I said, we got Cheryl Cooley from Climax and we have Nicole Hoops Alexander. We will see you tomorrow. We love y'all. Thanks for supporting the show.
Jokes and jams. Come on now.